know the truth.
Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 of Memphis, Tennessee. That's a conventional 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Ancos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South in the days ahead. We are joined in the last hour of the show by our usual Friday guest, Mark Glenn of both Crescent and Cross, as well as the American Free Press. I'd like to mention to you that if you turn to Breaking All the Rules News and go down to the Columnist Guild blog, there is a news release there in regard to the fact that Mark is now joining my program on a regular basis on Fridays. The information that is there, by the way, has also been released by the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. And I've been advised by the broadcast interview source of Washington that an amazing number of people have been looking at their news release on this story just in the last 24 hours or so. And if you get to that news release, which you can find at Breaking All the Rules News Columnist Guild blog, you'll see a very, very important photograph in that news release that pertains to Mark Glenn's book on Israel. And I'll ask him to discuss that book with you a little bit this morning, as well as in regard to other things that he's doing with both AFP and Crescent and Cross. Mark, how are you, sir?
Marcus, how are you?
Very good. I'm very pleased that a number of people in the presumably in the journalistic community are now aware of the Republic Broadcasting Network through that news release and also aware of some of the stuff that you're doing with AFP. How's the USS Liberties coming along?
Well, it is slow but rewarding. I mean, there's just the story is so big. And, unfortunately, this was one of the things that I was discussing with one of the crew members last night when I was talking to him. This story has been covered up more than the story involving the assassination of JFK. I mean, if we think about all the books that have been made concerning JFK, all the discussion that's taken place, compared to what little discussion has taken place with regards to the Liberty, it really is one of the most hushed-up things in American history. And so, unfortunately, getting to the bottom of what happened, it really is slow digging, as it were, because we really don't have a lot of information that has been, already researched over the last 40 years to look at. It really is, other than James Ennis's book and, of course, the documentary that was made by the BBC, we really it's slow going because all we can really do at this point is to interview the remaining survivors. And of course, the good thing is, though, is that 40 years later, the people who have been following this story, they've had 40 years to kind of ponder and to postulate, what different things, what significance could be attached to these things that have happened in the past. So, like I said, it is slow going, but I think in the end, it's going to bear some good fruit.
Well, I certainly hope so. I was sharing with the listeners in the last 30 minutes or so a post that the Jerusalem Post has available at jpost.com covering Hillary Clinton's statements before the National Jewish Democratic Council. She was there along with the other presidential candidates, and she was predictably saying that the U.S. might have to confront Iran. I've made the point before, Mark, and I know that you have as well, that when you look at the major presidential contenders on this subject, they're all singing out of the same songbook. They're all turned to the same page number in the hymnal, as it were. Are we to make out of this the conclusion that there is fatalistically a direction in which events are being taken that virtually guarantees that we're going to have a conflict in the Middle East that's going to be wider? We'll cover that when we come back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross will be back with me. Stay tuned.
ThePersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 5 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us at personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your on order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were joined in the first part of the show, first hour, by George T. Cody, Dr. George T. Cody of the American Task Force for Lebanon. We were talking about this whole issue of the 1.2 to 4 million cluster bomblets that Israel fired into Lebanon in the last 72 hours of that conflict, and what the ramifications of this are ongoingly when it's to military and economic policy and political blowback in that part of the world. We're now joined, of course, by our usual Friday guest, Mark Lind, of both the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross. And before I ask Mark a little bit about what he thinks of this cluster bomblet issue, I wanted to get back to this whole situation of Hillary Clinton. Mark, are we not again dealing with a situation here where when you look at her statements and the statements of these other presidential candidates who in several respects are obviously pro-Israel but a little bit more guarded in public rhetoric, that the fix is in, that the American public can be virtually assured that the policy of the Israeli government is going to be followed in the next year or so, and that that's going to lead to a wider war?
Well, I certainly will agree that it is going to lead to a wider war, and I would not for a moment hesitate to say that our politicians are completely bought off by these people. As far as implementing what the Israelis want, however, I have now seen things that lead me to believe that there may be a little surprise in store. Certainly, you know, we have all of the assets in place to implement this next phase of the war, which is to go to war against Iran. But whether the United States is actually going to do it or not, I say now it is somewhat questionable, and here's why. You know, Iran is not an isolated player in this thing. She has alliances with several other nations that are very powerful militarily and economically, not the least of which are Russia and China. Now, China gets most of her oil from Iran. China has been bristling under the thumb of the United States now for the last 40 to 50 years, and she wants to emerge as a major player in the world. And she does not like the idea one bit that the United States may be able to get her hands on the oil that China needs. Now, what China does have her corner is economic power with regards to the United States. You know, my good friend Hisham Talawi, he characterizes it very well in that you have two guys, and one guy is holding on to a rope, and he is dangling from a cliff. And the other guy is holding on to that rope and keeping the guy from falling to his death. Both of them have guns pointed at each other, okay? This is where we are economically when it comes to the Chinese and, you know, frankly, with other nations as well who hold so much of our debt. If the Chinese decide to dump the dollar, as they did in a very subtle way, you know, about a month ago, she literally could cause our economy to crash overnight, so much debt that she holds. And the fact that really, as an economic power, we are emaciated. We don't really make anything anymore. We're just a service-oriented economy. And were it not for the fact that the dollar is being propped up in terms of its value simply on a perception basis, if that perception were destroyed, then the United States would, you know, economically could go into the tank very quickly. Now, how this pertains to what's going on right now, you know, these politicians are not stupid. They realize what kind of lever Chinese are holding over the heads of the United States. And it may very well be that what's going on is that Bush and company are getting these assets in the Persian Gulf in place, they are gambling the chance that maybe Iran is going to back down, you know, in the classic game of chicken. Now, the thing that does, you know, where I said that I could see this war expanding, you know, one of the things that I have found out during my my research in dealing with these Liberty guys is that in 1967, there was a plan in place on the part of the United States that the United States was going to use the war in the Middle East, meaning the war between Israel and the Arabs, as a cover, a pretext for going in militarily and driving out or at least lessening the Soviet presence in the Middle East and in particular Egypt. This was referred to in Peter Hume's book, Operation Cyanide, and I've since I've been interviewing some of these Liberty survivors, I've realized that the United States was a lot more involved in this war, the 1967 war, than we've been led to believe, and that the Liberty incident, apparently what was going on is that the United States was not getting involved in the war quickly enough for Israel's liking. And so Israel decided to kind of speed things along by sinking the Liberty and forcing the United States to go in there and to assist her in this war. Of course, we know that the Israelis were very sloppy about the attack, and by the grace of God, this ship was spared. Okay, now let's bring this full circle 40 years later. Certainly we can plan on, you know, if the United States balks on this against Iran and is not as forthcoming with this attack as Israel would like, we can certainly expect that the Israelis will execute one of their made-to-order false flag operations, just as she has done throughout her existence. At this point, though, I don't know that the United States is going to be as willing to cover it up as she was in 1967, because what we're talking about here in terms of false flag operations, it could be something as spectacular as destroying an American nuclear weapon. And so what I'm saying here, and know, certainly students of biblical prophecy here would find some possible validation in this, is that you could actually see the United States turning on Israel and going to war against Israel.
Wow, that'd be, boy, I tell you, that would be an amazing turn of events. And it seems to me that as you look at this whole situation, Mark, if it played out that way, do you think it would be the result of a circumstance where finally it would dawn on someone, if there were a false flag operation of that magnitude that was directed at us, that it would then dawn on a few people that politically, economically, and militarily, that our alliance with Israel, in contrast to what John Hagee would suggest based on his exegesis of Genesis 12:3, is an alliance that essentially in the last 60 years has been dragging us down.
Yes, to the point of death, Mark. This is the thing that we've got to keep in mind. You know, we have good people in our intelligence services. We have good people in our law enforcement agencies, both at the local and at the federal level. They know what is going on. You know, the AIPAC spy scandal and trial is proof of that. These guys have been in the thick of this thing ever since 9/11 and even before that. And they're not dumb. They realize that the United States has been penetrated by a foreign hostile power and is in the process of setting us up for our own destruction. And these guys, they are not going to participate in something that is going to destroy their country. And I'm not even speaking on this for patriotic reasons on their part. The fact of the matter is that these men have families, they have friends in this country, and for no other reason than that, they would be willing to stand up and to do what is necessary to save their country. And so what I'm saying here is that Israel, the relationship between Israel and the United States is not as easy to spin in terms of it being a symbiotic, you know, benign relationship. It's not as easy to spin that as it was years ago. So, you know, I know that this is a long shot, and I am going out on a limb when I say this, but the fact of the matter is that if Israel does execute one of her made-to-order false flag operations, it's going to have to be something big, and she's not going to have as easy a time covering it up as she has in years past, because she's not going to be able to get the kind of cooperation that she needs to do that from the federal agencies, and even, dare I say, from members of Congress. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, the Zionists will only work with people who are corrupt and who are corruptible by nature. Now, that works in their favor when they need to bend these people to their will, but at the same time, it's a double-edged sword, because when you're working with somebody who is either corrupt or corruptible, you're dealing with somebody who is not trustworthy, who has no loyalty, and who cannot be depended upon to do anything out of an organic sense of sentiment on there. And so that means that they can easily turn on you. And as I said, I know that it is a long shot, and it may sound crazy. I know I've never said anything like this before, but it may very well be that what turns out taking place is that the United States will wind up turning on Israel militarily, as a result of something that Israel does to force the United States' hand with regards to Iran.
Well, you know, Mark, in regard to this, if it played out that way, when we come back, I want to ask you the question, if it played out that way, would there also be a domestic reaction to the Jewish lobby within the United States? We'll address that with Mark Glenn when we return to Mark Dankos America Live, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the method he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit, deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source of affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 24-volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the collection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and also of Crescent and Cross. Of course, you can find the American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net. You can buy a subscription to AFP by dialing 888-699-NEWS. And if you want to see Crescent and Cross, simply go to CrescentandCross.com for all of the things that Mark Glenn routinely posts on that site day by day, week by week, that give all of us a much wider perspective and understanding of what has been going on in the Middle East for years, a perspective that is widely ignored or denied by the corporate media in this country for all of the obvious reasons. Mark, in regard to this whole situation then, where one could see a complete change in the government of the United States' relationship with Israel, or in fact a relationship of military antagonism, in your view, could develop downstream as a result of what's been going on. Do you foresee the possibility that this could be added to by a corresponding backlash against the Israeli lobby domestically in this country?
Sure. I mean, you know, the Jewish lobby in this country for at least the last half century has been waging a relentless program of turning the average American into, you know, for lack of a more flattering term, turning the average American into a mindless beast. Okay, you look at the entertainment that that's shoved in our faces 24/7 is stuff that's deliberately designed to turn us into just a thoughtless, mindless drone who's violent-minded, by the way, which makes us all more cooperative when it comes to going to war against civilian people. And so, as I said, this is like a double-edged sword. They have spent so much of their energies turning us into these mindless, violent automatons which certainly works in their favor when things are going in their favor. But if they get sloppy and suddenly, you know, they're not able to cover their tracks as well as they were in times past with regards to acts of sabotage, you know, false flag operations against the United States, then these same people who have been willing to go out and fight their wars for them will turn on them in an instant. Now, you look at the backlash that took place in this country immediately after 9/11. Anyone with dark skin, whether they were Middle Eastern or not, whether they were Muslim or not, you know, their homes were being attacked. They were being physically attacked in public. And so this is the thing that the American people, I mean, we have been deliberately, you know, socially and culturally engineered into being this violent-minded individual who lashes out without any thought. You know, our program is kill them all and let God sort them out. I don't want to hear any of the details. I just want somebody to die. I want somebody to pay for what has taken place. And so, you know, the Israelis are getting sloppier because their operations are getting more complicated. And so if we're talking about attacking some of our naval assets in the Persian Gulf or detonating a nuclear weapon with the United States, an operation of that sort is not going to be as easy to cover up as it's been in times past, not the least of which also is because you have people who are becoming more aware of this, and we have the Internet now. And so, you know, and when we have somebody on the level of former President Carter coming forth and warning people about the dangers of this lobby and other members of the Bush administration, and let's face it, the American people, you know, they are sour on this war, although, you know, they certainly are not doing anything to bring it to an end. But, you know, they don't have so much stomach for this stuff, especially when it's hitting them in the pocketbook. And so this backlash against the Jewish lobby is a very real possibility. If we wind up going to war against Israel, and I say even these lunatic Christian Zionists, okay, I mean, you have to remember that their loyalty towards Israel is all based on flawed premise, and not the least of which is this idea that somehow they are going to be rewarded by being sucked up into heaven before any serious suffering is to take place before the return of Christ. Now, if this serious suffering is taking place as a result of something that happens in this country economically or militarily, and they're still here for it, then they come to understand that this whole business of the rapture is just a myth that's been foisted upon them in order to purchase their cooperation, then they're not going to be as cooperative then as they are now. So this backlash, of course, it's I wouldn't say it's a possibility as much as it is a likelihood. But this is what happens. I mean, when you make double dealing and lying and thievery and violence, you know, not just a part of the way that you do the mainstay of it, then you're going to have to pay the piper. So whatever falls upon them, it's by their own doing.
We'll be back with Leonard of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross, and Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Casting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize art is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, televisions and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of evidence. The artificially sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-55-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Stay connected. What's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them free with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Mark Glenn of both the American Free Press as well as Crescent and Cross. We were joined in the first hour of the show by George T. Cody, Dr. George T. Cody of the American Task Force for Lebanon, which you can find at atfl.org. Dr. Cody was talking about this whole business of cluster bombs. And before I get into that a little bit with Mark this morning, I wanted to ask him a question. Mark, you were talking about the possibility that maybe there's going to be a backlash against Israel, against the Israeli lobby internationally and domestically over all of these things. As I look at the Maurer Commission, which was set up in 2003 to look again into this USS Liberty map, it becomes very clear based upon the conclusions of that commission, which can be found at the USSLiberty.org website, that there is a most scathing indictment of Israel and its activities in that USS Liberty tragedy that is 12 points long, that represents the perspective of some real heavyweights historically in the American military and diplomatic communities, including Admiral Moore. And also in the text of the Moore Commission conclusions, it makes reference to the fact that George Ball, Richard Helms, Dean Rusk, William Odom, Bobby Ray Inman, and a series of other people in the national security establishment absolutely insist that Israel's attack was deliberate, and that it had the intended effect. When we look at this, are we to see the Moore Commission report of 4 years ago as an indication of the much wider discontent within the national security establishment as it relates to Israel that you've been hinting at? Is that a correct conclusion?
Yes, absolutely. As I said before, these people are not stupid. You know, they can't take the risk of being sloppy or of relying on the analysis of individuals like John Hagee for them to come to positions and decisions with regards to the United States and its national security policy. So these people see and hear things you and I can only imagine. I mean, they interface with Israel on a regular basis, whether it's diplomatic or whether it's on military issues. And so they, you know, these are very practical men. You have to be very practical-minded when you are a military man because you're dealing with life and death. And so that, coupled with the fact that you see growing discontent in the military today with regards to Iraq, and, you know, a very clear statement on the part of some of our level men and women in our military with regards to any future engagements with Iran. You know, we keep in mind, you know, about a month ago that you had four top, I believe they were, they may have been the admirals, I can't remember exactly at this point, who threatened to resign over this business with Bush and his policy with Iran. So these men, you know, they do not walk around with rose-colored glasses on. They have done the pro formas. They have done the, you know, all of the scenarios, and it is coming up a big zero for them. They realize that there's nothing to gain by this. And so there's only so far you're going to be able to push these people before they are going to strike back. They are not going to sacrifice their families and their country over something that they really don't have any vested interest in anyway, which is this little Marxist terrorist state in the Middle East that is Israel. So I think that as we continue to see the effects of this disaster taking place in Iraq, and as we watch as this buildup in Iran continues, that you're going to see more and more of these people saying, hell no, we won't go. And as I said, there just has to come a breaking point at which, you know, and by the way, you know, this is not really my theory as much as it is one that I have picked up by speaking with Mike Piper at AFP, where he says that there is a certain inevitability to this, where the military is going to take the bull by the horns, as it were, and is going to take action against this government in order to keep the country from literally flushed down the sewer.
Well, yes, and I think some of the most recent statements of the Air Force Chief of Staff in regard to what this conflict has done to his Air Force, both in terms of the way it's been utilized in Iraq and elsewhere, is absolutely suggestive, I think, Mark, of what both you and Mike Piper are talking about at this point. And as I watch this, help me to understand this, because I'm constantly amazed by it. Let's assume, and this is perhaps a dangerous assumption, but let's assume that Mr. Bush has any degree of intellectual capability and emotional and mental stability whatsoever, and that that at least one of his advisors does. I know that that's an assumption, but let's assume that for the sake of argument that it's true. And somebody explains to Mr. Bush that we have a national debt approaching $9 trillion, that this Iraq war that supposedly, according to Wolfowitz, was going to cost $50 billion is now at $500 billion and counting, that we've killed over 600,000 people in this thing and counting, that there's an obvious domestic American political backlash building against war, and that if we attack Iran, that the blowback of this will be absolutely catastrophic throughout the Muslim world, that Russia and China presumably in their renewed alliance against over our policies in that part of the world will take whatever steps they are planning to take economically and otherwise to counter us, that we will find that Iran, which is three times the size of Iraq and has a better conventional military, will give us even more misery than we are presently experiencing in that part of the world, and that presumably the American public at some point could absolutely explode in frustration against their own government because of all of this. And as you have underscored here, the national security establishment might fragment in terms of its support policies. If somebody laid that out before Mr. Bush and said, hey, here are the 15 reasons why it would be absolutely catastrophic for us to do this, meaning to attack Iran, what would we make of a decision by Mr. Bush to actually do it? And what would we make of a situation where leading presidential contenders in both parties, at least up to this point, would be supportive of that? What is behind all of this when so much rational analysis says don't do this? Why an American president would still consider it, along with some of these presidential contenders, as a viable choice?
Well, this, as we've said before, I mean, we are, you know, we are all prisoners, as it were, on this bus that is being driven by a lunatic. And so, you know, this is the danger of, you know, we hear and we read in the scriptures the danger of the sins of the father and how they are passed down from generation to generation. And so I think that this is just a something of an allegory to this. When you have somebody in the driver's seat making decisions for everyone else who can't think clearly, his decisions, his bad decisions, or the effects of those bad decisions, go on for generations. Now, what I'm saying here is that they may not be able to carry this out. You see, everything that you've just laid out, you know, where his advisors telling him, explaining to him A, B, and C, and yet it's still not enough to convince him not to do it. He still not may not be able to do it because the way that modern wars are fought, they require the cooperation of his top military men in order to be able to do it. But what happens if they refuse to go through it?
Yes, and I think, again, some of these things that we're seeing on occasion in the conventional media suggest that that's exactly what's happening, that there's some smoke coming out from underneath the rug. You know, a few nights ago here in San Antonio, I was present for a concert. The Air Force Band of the West put on a concert at Trinity University's Laurie Auditorium in San Antonio, and I was reminded of the fact in my own mind that the commanding general of the Air Force's Air Education and Training Command here in San Antonio, General Looney, made some very critical statements of the administration and its policy in Iraq in a recent public appearance that at one point was publicized on the front page of the San Antonio Express News, and then you never heard of it again. I was absolutely amazed by the candor with which General Looney spoke and quite clearly interpreted his remarks as suggesting that there was a much wider concern in the American Air Force, specifically in the American military generally, about these Bush administration policies in that part of the world. And as I read the statements that the general made, I thought, boy, there must be other people, not only in the military, but in the intelligence community of the United States, that are really rethinking all of this. And as their feelings begin to rise, potentially the very thing that you talk about, in my view, could happen.
Yes, and as I said, too, I mean, what happens when these men refuse to go through with Bush's directive? What is going to be the reaction on the part of Israel? And this, you know, this is people have got to understand, is that Israel right now, you know, she is not able to hold things together as well as she was able to, say, 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, she is dealing with some very serious problems in holding this Frankenstein together, this Frankenstein known as the State of Israel today. And so, you know, she is, to a certain degree, backed into a corner where, you know, you hear her saying often, you know, our existential threat. Okay, she's talking about the fact that, you know, she's surrounded by all of these hostile nations and you know, the money that the United States pours into countries such as Egypt and Jordan and some of the others, in order so that they do not attack Israel. The fact of the matter is that the people are becoming more and more polarized. Of course, this is probably something that the Zionists, you know, what they assumed was that the Arabs were just going to be pacified. You know, we remember David Ben-Gurion's quote that the young will forget and the old will die off. But clearly this is not the case. The Muslim world is becoming more and more polarized every day against Israel. And so Israel is more or less backed into a corner right now. And so, you know, when you're dealing with an animal backed into a corner, it will do just about anything for its survival. So this is what I'm talking about with regards to Israel executing some very dramatic, very serious, as if 9/11 weren't serious enough, very serious false flag attack against the United States. And the thing about desperate and dramatic moves is that the people who carry them out oftentimes are very sloppy about covering their tracks. And I can tell you this, that if Israel destroys an American city with a nuclear weapon, the United States will be going to war against Israel.
Yes, and as we look at all of this, this then leads us into the topic that Dr. Cody was talking about in the first hour of the show, and that's this whole business of cluster bomblets that have been dropped by Israel in South Lebanon, somewhere between 1.2 and 4 million of these things that were dropped in the last 72 hours of that conflict when Israel knew that a ceasefire was imminent. Do you think that this heinous act on Israel's part is part and parcel of a regional desperation on their part that relates to a much wider desperation on their part that I think you've already alluded to?
Well, we have to keep something in mind. What took place last August with regards to Israel in this billion war against the Lebanese, there's nothing new about this. I mean, yes, her missions may have been a little bit more sophisticated, but had Israel been in possession of these munitions 40 years ago, she would have been using them. You're dealing with, in the words of the former Minister of Defense, Moshe Dayan, you're dealing with a mad dog when you're dealing with Israel. She has no morals. She doesn't understand, just as Ariel Sharon was quoted once saying, you know, she has no understanding or recognition of this thing known as international law or even international principles. You're dealing with an entity that is based upon an ideology that says we can do whatever the hell we want, and the rest of the world can go to hell. They don't like it. And so when you're dealing with an entity, whether it's an individual or whether it's a nation, that is possessed of this mindset, that is not interested in goodwill, that is has a militaristic sadistic mindset, as it is with the case of the Zionists, then, of course, what we saw taking place, not just in Lebanon, but over the course of the last 40 years, this makes perfect sense. When you're dealing with a mad dog, what you'll be dealing with is a lot of violence and suffering and bloodshed throughout this mad dog's existence. So this thing that took place in Lebanon, I think that there are many reasons for it. Certainly the fact that Israel launched these cluster bombs in the last 72 hours before a ceasefire was to take effect. I think that, you know, she did this deliberately to show the rest of the Middle Eastern nations, you know, this is what happens when you deal with us. This is, you know, that is something that she is big on, is making examples of people as a means of inflaming tensions. I mean, this is something else that people have got to understand when we are talking about the Zionists. The last thing that they can afford to have happen is for peace to break out in the area. The fear of war, the fear of being attacked by the Arabs, this has been the glue that has held the Jewish state together for the last 40 years. And so, you know, Israel has to do these things, such as this attack on Lebanon, periodically in order to keep tensions in the Middle East in flight. You see, if the Arabs ever did begin to adopt a more, I hate to say the word, but a more tolerant stance towards Israel, it would eventually lead to Israel's demise. You would see Israeli society clamor for a more peaceful society, less militarist, more willing to negotiate and to learn to get along with people, you know, her neighbors. And the glue that holds this thing, then, is the Jewish state. The glue that holds the thing together would begin to break down. So we have to keep this in mind, is that as long as Israel exists, you will see these attacks on civilian population centers like this, because she needs to keep the Arab world in place.
We'll be back with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We're World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection, lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they have this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the bathroom, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it cleaned really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully. There was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from the attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by state, county, or law.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Mark Glenn of both Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press. I've had several notes from listeners who want some information regarding how to obtain several of your books, including No Beauty and the Beast, Israel Without Mascara. Where can they go to buy those?
If they will contact American Free Press, American Free Press has now picked up publication of the book. They can order through them. I don't think that it's on the front page of the American Free Press website, but if they'll just call the American Free Press office, or if they'll just drop me a line on the internet at AmericanFreePress@yahoo.com, then I'll steer them in the direction they need to go in order to find it.
Very good. So they can contact you directly at AmericanFreePress@yahoo.com.
That's right.
Or call AFP at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS, and receive information on how to purchase these Mark Glenn books. That's great. Mark, I'm looking at a story that was posted on April 20th, and I don't know if you've seen the story or not, so that's why I hesitate to bring it up on the air, but it's something I want to study in more detail in coming days. It's talking about something called the BlackBerry system. It then goes on to speak about a number of things related to Amdocs Limited, which I know a little bit about, and a number of other electronics companies that are some with familiar names, some with unfamiliar names, that suggest that there is a very dangerous spider-like network between American and Israeli telecommunications firms, including groups like RSA Security Incorporated, Telron Communications, Comverse, Infosys, and so forth and so on. What do you make of all of this?
Well, obviously, they want to know, you know, Napoleon said that he was not as much worried about 300,000 soldiers with bayonets as he was with three newspapers, okay? The idea of information is the most important aspect in fighting any kind of war. Now, that should come as no surprise to people then when we find out that the control of information and censorship and eavesdropping, that this has to be an integral part in maintaining any kind of control over a society. Now, you know, these various technology firms and telecommunications firms that you just listed, the fact of the matter is that they all go back to Israel, and they are completely plugged into the communications networks within the United States. I think essentially what the Israelis are interested in doing is monitoring the conversations that take place between the people in the United States who hold the reins of power, whether they're politicians, whether they are financial powers or industrial powers, in doing this, in essence, not just for the purpose of industrial espionage, but also finding dirt. I mean, this is the thing. When you can control the people by needing to bring up embarrassing information that they would rather be released, you can see how the Israeli agenda is further along by having control of listening.
I'd like to thank Mark Glenn for being on today. Of course, he's with both Crescent and Cross as well as the American Free Press. If you're interested in Mark's books, including No Beauty and the Beast, Israel Without Her Mascara, give AFP a call at 800-699-NEWS. Contact Mark Glenn at AmericanFreePress@yahoo.com for information on not only this book, but a series of things that Mark has written. I'll be back on Monday with Dr. Dalia Wasfi of LiberateThis.com. This is Mark Gantos, America, signing off today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless.